Kuf halacha, we are in the middle of Kuf Mem Aleph, the second paragraph in Kuf Mem Aleph. And we are up to halacha Kuf, the second paragraph in Kuf Mem Aleph on page Kuf Chaf Hey. The laws of not putting a navi on top of a chumash. B'chein al yosim sifrei Talmud al sifrei Mikra. There's a very big hakpada when you pile up sefarim, what goes on top, which sefer has more kedusha. So a sefer, the Torah Shabbal Peh, a chumash, a navi, ksuvim and neviim have more kedusha than Torah Shabbal Peh, than Mishnayos and Talmud. So if you have a chumash and a gemara, which goes on top? The chumash goes on top. If you have a navi, what? No. Klaf for sure. Klaf, it goes without saying. But even printed books. The halach is you put a chumash on top of a gemara. V'chein al yosim sifrei Talmud al sifrei Mikra. V'chein al yichaseh. Now he's not going through all of the details, but basically he just says one word: do not put Sifrei Talmud al Sifrei Mikra on Shulchan Aruch. I remember exactly where it's listed. There's a whole set of halachas exactly to say there hadavar. If I'm not mistaken, when it comes to Nevi'im and Kisuvim, does a Navi go on top of a Sefer from Kisuvim? Daniel, what goes on top of what? Does a Sefer Daniel go on top of Yecheskel, or does Yecheskel go on top of Daniel? It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. There's no hakpada when it comes to Kisuvim and Nevi'im, even though we like to think that Kisuvim have less Kedusha. It's not necessarily true. It's different. It's a different degree of Kedusha. The Kedusha of Nevi'im is Nevuah. The Kedusha of Kisuvim we refer to as Ruach HaKodesh. But I'll give you an example on Rosh Hashanah. What do we say when we go through the 10 psukim? On Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to recite 10 psukim of Malchios, 10 psukim of Zichroinois, 10 of Shofarois. What comes first? Torah. What comes second? Ksuvim. And what comes third? Nevi'im. Okay? And then one pak, you go back to a pasuk of the Torah. So why is it that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, do Kisuvim come before the Nevi'im? When in all of our printed editions of Chumashim, of Mikros Kedolos, is always that the Nevi'im come before the Kisuvim. And chronologically, it's true. Chronologically, well, not necessarily, but the narratives of Kisuvim chronologically took place after Nevi'im. I mean, the Nevi'im took place in the Nevi'im Rishonim, the Nevi'im Achronim, and then the stories of what's presented in an Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel. Well, really, order really is Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Divrei Hayamim. Okay, Divrei Hayamim really goes back to the beginning, but a lot of it discussed what took place at the very, very end. These are things which took place at the chronologically later. So chronologically, in a chanami, it comes later, but it does not necessarily mean it has any less kedusha than the books of the Nevi'im. In fact, look at what else do we have in Ksuvim? We have Tehillim, and we have the Chumash Megillos, which some of them date back to Rus, the Shlomo HaMelech, Rus, and Koheles, Mishlei, these are things which are dated back to the beginning, the time when these things were written were during the times of the Nevi'im, even before the times of the Nevi'im. So just because the Sefer is part of Kisuvim does not indicate that there's any less Kedusha than Sefer Navi, and that is why in the Halacha, there is no Hakpada. You can put a Navi on top of a Sefer of Kisuvim, or Kisuvim on top of a Navi. They are equal. But when it comes to Chamishei Chumshei Torah, there is a hakpada that it should go on top of a chumash goes on top of Nevi'im and Kisuvim. And good question. So that's the very big question. What about a siddur? So today a siddur, and this siddur today especially Bizman Hazeh, almost every siddur today has the whole Tehillim. Okay, every siddur today kamat, and they have chumash. to even the old Siddurim already, and they have Mishnayos. So today, being that it's everything all mixed together, there are many who argue that a Siddur should really go on top of at least Nevi'im and Kisuvim. If you have Nevi'im and Kisuvim and a Siddur, you should put the Siddur on top, because the Siddur has most of our Siddur, they have Chumash, and they have Tehillim, which is Kisuvim, so therefore it's like a Tehillim, and as Pesukim also says, Shema, it has everything. So L'chayra Siddur, however, the minig is not like, even though technically that may be correct, the minig for whatever reason is not like. The minig is you don't put a Siddur on top of a Navi, of a Chumash, even though there is Chumash inside of it, because I guess the assumption is a Chumash is miyuchad to be as a Chumash. A Siddur, the Iker is the Siddur.
There's some Rishonim that say a Bereshit goes on top of Shemos, by the way.
Now we don't.
I know.
That's an extreme thing.
I read it in a couple of places that if you have a Bereshit in the Shemos, Bereshit goes on top.
That's why I want to ask. If you have the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, each one a separate Sefer, do they have
any? No, they do not. Oh. They do not. You can put a Devarim on top of a Bereshit. And you can put a Vayikra on top of a Shemos. There is no order. Amongst the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, there is no Hakpada. Chamishei Chumshei go on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Nevi'im and Ksuvim do not have any order whatsoever. But Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim certainly go on top of Torah Shebal Peh. What about Mishnayis versus Gemara? No difference. You can put a Gemara on top of Mishnayis, or Mishnayis having all Torah Shebal Peh. What about a Chassam Sofer? Can you put a Chassam Sofer on top of a Gemara? Yes. Yes. Sheilas Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. Can you put that? Yes, because it's all the same. Torah Shebal Peh is all the same, Madrega. We don't go and divide, split hairs between different categories. You can put a Mishnah on top of a Gemara. You can put a Mishnah Beruda on top of a Gemara. Shulchan Aruch on top of a Gemara, because it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all Torah Shebal Peh. It's all drawn from the same. It's all quotations from the Gemara. It's all the same. What about something like a Siddur? So mi'ikar hadin, a Siddur can go on top of a Nevi'im and Ksuvim. We don't put a Siddur on top of Chumashim. We'll argue why not as Chumash as well. Maybe you're right, maybe. But then, even though technically it's not the end of the world to put a Siddur on top of even a Chumash, or certainly not on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, we don't do it. It's not the minhag to do so, and the svar is very similar, because even though indeed it has printed inside a good chunk of Chumash, okay, and first I'll leave every parasha, and that's Shema, and as many parashas Haman and parashas Ahira, there's a good chunk of Chamishei Chumshei Torah printed inside of a Siddur. However, that's not the primary function of a Siddur. The primary function is Tefillah, which was written by the Anshei Knesses Hagadolah, which is much, much later. It's more like Torah Shebal Peh than it is Torah Shebuchsav. So we do not put a Siddur on top of a Chumash or on top of Nevi'im Uksuvim, but you can definitely put a Siddur on top of a Gemara, on top of Mishnayis, yeah.
Yeah, but that's then it's not five. How about it like shelves? It shouldn't be
no difference. Shelf height, no such thing.
Uh-huh.
Once it's on a shelf, there's no such thing, one on top of the other. There's no such thing. You have to put the Chumash on the top shelf,
yeah,
where you can't reach it. Where you can't reach it.
No,
and on the bottom, you put the books, which are totally, totally relevant.
Yeah, that's the
no such thing.
That's why I don't need no.
You need some seichel, and when they arrange the sefarim, when they arrange, it's very big about people who arrange sefarim, you have to have some seichel to know which sefarim are popular, and just because it doesn't, the alphabetical order doesn't allow itself to put the sefer in this position. But you know, you have to have some seichel. I once went to a shul where they have the Nevi'im. I can't believe they have the Nevi'im all the way on top. You can't even reach. You have to go come on a ladder to take down a Navi. And then at eye level, they have these esoteric svarim that almost no one ever touches. So they know, people know they do all the time because they come there, they keep on going all the time. They do the Navi'im. But I mean, what was the seichel to go put the Navi'im all the way on top and to put these esoteric svarim? I think because the way the alphabetical order, that you can see how there was some type of chachma system. Ridiculous. Shtus. take the svarim, which are practical, which are neat, you put that at eye level, and the other things you put on top. No, I never heard such a thing that you can't go put the chumash have to go all the way on top in the order of the shav. There's no such thing. It's only when it's piled on the table, there's an order. Now, it used to be, maybe it's still done in the svarim stores, I think it still is in some of the old svarim stores, they put the svarim on the floor. And if they put the svarim on the floor, kol shekein v'kol shekein, there's no hakpada that a zohar can go on top of a chumash. They can put anything they want on top. Why? And their claim is, until someone opens up the sefer and learns from the sefer, it has no kiddusha, and we can step on it. And we can do with it. There are no rules. Is that really true? I don't know. They do it. It's done. They definitely do it. They put svarim on the floor. There is no hakpada what sefer goes on top of another sefer. They do it because they have no choice, because of space considerations and deliveries and orders, and there's major chaos in some of these. Maybe if you go to a nice store, a Judaica store, you come into the front, everything is so beautiful. Go into the back or go into the basement where they're preparing orders. Okay, they're preparing orders, online orders, it's chaos. So even in the nice stores, you know, I go to Eichel's, wow, everything is so nice, everything is so proper. Go into the back, it's chaos.
Yeah, but the print is the same thing,
Right. So what is the answer? Well, the truth is, a sefer really doesn't have Kedusha, period. I mean, we give it Kedusha. Something that is printed doesn't have real Kedusha. To give something real Kedusha, you have to take your hands and put the ink on the page, like we learned yesterday. Today, we have a lot of leniencies because everything is just done by a machine. Just because the machine puts ink on a page does not give it Kedusha. And that's why we're permitted to take all of the handouts like this. Where is this going to go at the end? Into a paper bag and be disposed of in a dignified way. Because this has no Kedusha. It was just came out of a machine. And it was printed with the intent that it should be disposed of. And we can do that because since there's no real kedusha put upon it and it's printed as a temporary thing, it can be disposed of. When you take a sefer and you put a binding and a cover and your intent is it should remain on a shelf, that upgrades it significantly where you can't just dispose of it unless you know exactly where it's going to go. You have to make sure that it's not disposed of in a disgraceful way. It's not going to end up b'derech b'zanim. There are much higher standards. So these standards don't just change things in regard to the way you're going to ultimately dispose of these items. It changes its status in regard to what item can rest upon another item. Can a sitter, if you have not yet opened up the book, it came out from the printer, and there are space considerations in a store, in a shop, even in your own home sometimes, are you allowed to pile things up in a way which under normal circumstances would not be dignified? Maybe there could even be, let's say storage. Let's say you're moving. These are very serious questions. Let's say you're moving from one location to another, and the movers come, they have box, they have a whole bookcase of svarim. Are you in the box allowed to put, because it just doesn't fit, are you in the box allowed to put a Gemara on top of a Chumash? The Pasha says yes, because the inyan of it appearing is only when it's disgraceful when it's in public. When you come into shul and on the table there is a Chumash, on top of the Chumash is a sitter, it's exposed for all to see. That's a disgrace. But when you are putting it into a box for the purpose of transport, and it's temporary, and it's not being seen, and a sefer doesn't really have real kedusha because it's only printed, it was not actually, then there are leniencies. It's only temporary, no one is seeing it being done, it's been done for a purpose to transport, it's mutter. Can you go take a sefer Torah and put in the box on top of the sefer Torah Navi, and wrap it up in a box and ship it? No, because the Sefer Torah and the Navi have real kedusha. It has real kedusha just because it's in a box and it's not exposed. There is no heter to put a Navi on top of a real Sefer Torah and put it in a box and ship it somewhere. Are you allowed in general to ship a Sefer Torah? That itself is a question. Can you do something like that? But certainly, the Kedusha demands that at least be separated, not be piled one on top of the other, because it has real Kedusha. A Sefer does not have real Kedusha, especially today when it's not printed. It's not printed at all by human input. So therefore, what is the only time we're makbid that it should be presented in the proper order is when it's in public, it's exposed on the table, in a Beis Medrash, in a Beis HaKnesses, or at home, but not when it is put away in storage, or when it is transported, or even when it's created, or it's brought into a warehouse, and they're preparing it, they're preparing orders, or they're preparing it to be positioned in the proper location, then the minhag is, the degree of kedusha that they give it, is very, very minimal. If you ever go to a sefer, you know, some of the sefer, I'm talking about real sefer Torah, you can be, the first time I saw this, I was horrified. You go into a sefer, you know, you go to shul, sefer Torah, it's the highest kedusha. I mean, it's, you know, open up the Aron HaKodesh, you have to stand up. And we're so makbid. And then you go to a sefer, and they have, they're literally hanging from the ceiling. Hanging from the ceiling, sefer Torah, sefer Kodesh. What? Even real Sifrei Torah, hanging here, hanging there, and like what? What's going on over here? Isn't there a degree of sanctity? You're not supposed to see this.
Excuse me.
You're not supposed to see what goes on over here. In a shop where we have to make repairs and we have to work with these Sifrei Kodesh, unfortunately, we don't have the ability to treat the sefarim with the full kedusha they deserve. We do; they do lahalacha very carefully. But it's not the same diarka. They have shelves, and they don't cover necessarily the shelves. Mm-hmm. They have different standards, which are not the same standards that we're accustomed to in public, in a dignified place. And it's the same exact thing with printed sefarim. Let's show this halacha.
One is for Shabbat only.
Yeah.
One is for Yom Tov only.
A Sefer Torah?
Sidurim. One is for weekdays. And there is priority for the
Shabbat. No, there is no priority. Absolutely not.
Shabbat, Yom Tov.
They're all the same. No, the Siddur is a Siddur. Madoch, there's no priority when it comes to a Navi versus Ksuvim, so there's certainly no priority when it comes to Siddur for Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Chol. It's all the same. And that's the paragraph. V'chein al Yosim Sifri Talmud al Tivri Mikra, Torah Sheb al Peh does not go on Torah Sheb Chsaf. V'chein al yichas says sifrei b'klofim haksuvim bohem l'shoin laz o yivani. Don't cover your books with newspaper.
What do you think that word means? Romance.
It means romance novels?
I don't think so. Romance. However, I will say that in French, for example, the word roman means a novel.
A novel, okay.
In Yiddish too.
Now, if you go open up, take the old sefer, not anymore today, but if you go to an old sefer, take an old Mishnah Berurah, and take off the cover, and look what's on the binding. After they stitch it and they glue it, they will take newspaper, read it, try to find the date, try to find this is the daily news. This is garbage, total garbage. So is that proper? Is it proper to take recycled newspaper and use it on the binding of a Gemara? Take an old Gemara. You can see this. It's not so hard to find these things. Today you don't have. Today you're not going to find it anymore. What?
Used to, I don't know if they still have book covers. And they used to use all kinds of things as book covers.
They would recycle. So is that what he's discussing? Not necessarily. But he says there is a certain sensitivity to these things. Today it's not done. Today it's not necessary anymore. Today the technology is very, very different. You're not going to have that today. But the old sefarim, if you take off the cover and look what's on top of the glue, you can read the newspaper from whoever it was and read the latest scores in the in the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers. And who knows, read about some ancient news. So he writes over here, V'chein al Yosim, he writes over here, al Yechase es Sifrei b'klofim, with parchment, ha-kesuvim bohem, romance. L'shoin laz, or Yivani, whatever this means. Okay, so I don't necessarily think that it was referring to what was done years ago, because it was just under the cover. But obviously, he's teaching us over here to be sensitive to the sanctity of a Sefer. with leather. For lahoya kasaboy loyazim shal divrei havai, and this leather was recycled from some romance novel, Moby Dick, whatever they had or whatever they read. Tagore havai tagore malchehu umois, and the from the merchants of the malchehu umois, a non-religious text. Ubot sadik ukiro vehesiro. A tzaddik came to town. He saw this, was disturbed, and he removed it. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to this story that we do not know. The history of this is obviously alluding to some big event that happened. I mean, there must be some commentators that tell us some why it was worthy for him to mention this. It must have been some major event which, when you would read about it, would shake you up. And what exactly it is, I have no idea. Okay, another halacha. Another kuf membeis. Ibata mischaveach im chacham. Let's say you have a debate with a Talmud chacham, and you lose the debate. Al yihi lecha letzar im nitzchacha, if you have been defeated. Ki mimenu tilmoid v'sosif chachma, from that experience you will grow. Im tenatzeach oisoi, mar tarviach. If you would have won the debate, what would you have gained? Aval im nitzchacha, b'zeh hirvachta, this that he has prevailed over you, adarabba, you won. By losing, you win. It doesn't work like that in the presidential debates, that I can tell you for sure. But when it comes to...
by not having to take the job.
What? Right. When it comes to Divrei Torah, the experience of losing is a humbling experience from which you can improve your midos and you can improve upon. Hirvachta asher yodata atom mashlo yodata kaimcha, you'll now go to what you do not know. I, Baruch Hashem, had this experience very recently. I was asked to assist in a certain project, and I was asked to summarize, to write up something very sensitive. And they gave me a lot of material, and my word was going to be heavily edited by professional writers, but just to put down the basic ideas and tamsis hadvarim. And it was a very sensitive issue, and I met with this certain person, and he gave me all the material, and he had a very nice discussion with me, and then I went and I proceeded to write it up. Then I get a phone call. We want you to come over now, and we want to discuss what you have put in words. And I come there, and I thought this is just between me and him, and there were other people in the room that I was not planning that it should be there, and on the phone, he called off some more people, conference. And they said, okay, read what you wrote. This was very recently. And they ripped me to shreds. Every single word that I put down on paper was challenged. I was asked to explain. And they really ripped it. And I was there until very, very late. And it was very humbling. But the truth was, it was a very rewarding experience. It really, really was. I learned in a new. I argued very strongly with some of these people, and they argued back. And the result was a very fascinating insight into this whole matter. And then I had to rewrite the whole thing from beginning to end.
Their way.
No, not necessarily their way. It wasn't necessarily their way. I mean, that was. It would have been their way no matter what, but. Not totally. It was an understanding. It was a summary of this discussion, and I walked out of the room humiliated. But the truth was, it was a victory, because I came away with a whole new appreciation for this matter. And we wrote the whole thing, submitted it, and now we're in the process of going through another review. Another review, another round. It was very good, which is the way it was meant to be. Another round of discussion to actually crystallize what exactly is the position that this group wants to take on this very sensitive matter. And only through this intense debate, we have a starting point, we put it in words, debate it, rip it to shreds, rewrite it, analyze if even that is correct, and, you know, go back and forth. So it's so true that when you're dealing with something important, it's a process. And part of the process is to be defeated. Through defeat, sometimes you win. Obviously, it's not always like that. You know, in life, you have to win sometimes if you want to get somewhere. But just because you lose once doesn't mean, just because you lose the battle doesn't mean the war is over. There's still more battles to be held, and you learn from your... Dvarim Pshutim. You don't need books. You don't, certain things you don't need books to write. You don't need books to say. These are Dvarim Pshutim. And this is just a little chizuk. A little chizuk to...
Beyond the article too?
What?
Did you name beyond this project?
Sorry?
Did you name beyond?
No. No way. Definitely not. Definitely not. No, because I'm not... This is... No, I'm not. No, no.
You don't want it.
It's, no, it's not. I want it. I'm not. I don't have a license. I don't have a license to say that it should be. It would carry no weight. It would carry no weight coming from me. These are professionals, and for whatever reason they want me. They want to use me.
So why do they want you originally?
What?
Why do they want you originally?
They don't have time. It's like they don't have time for this. They're so busy. They don't have time. They just want to hire someone to help them. Whatever they want to. They don't want whatever. But it's on their name. It's their name is on it. Their name is on it, and they want this experience of debate and discussion to crystallize what the response should be to a certain issue that I can't tell you. It's really, really confidential stuff, but it's very fascinating. What?
Where they find you?
I see them. I work with them all the time. These people, I work with them all the time. Not all the time, but I these are my people. Whatever we work together, but they're a different capacity. Whatever, these people, I know them very well, whatever. So it's,
They ripped you apart with love.
They did? I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. It was very, very interesting. I tell you, it was really, really, it was intense. It was a very intense, very, very, very challenging. But it was good. It was very, very good. It's mamish, like hashkocha pratis. I feel like I'm reading this. It's like Hashem is trying to give me nechama. All right, we're going to stop here. We're going to take a very short break. I have handouts. The Gemara on Daf Lamed tonight is Lag BaOmer. So I have over here, what better Daf can you learn? Daf Lamed Gimel. In Masechta Shabbos, the story of Rashbi. So instead of just clapping, just talking, let's read the Gemara inside and discuss some of the fascinating issues of the Gemara. Okay, there are two pages. We're probably not going to get to the second page, but we'll take it anyway. Yeah, so there are two handouts. Do it one at a time. First, give out this. Give me one page for myself. It's more than enough of that.